Welcome to the Empowerment Zone with Ramona Houston, where we zone in on Black and Brown relations and our journey to empowering our communities.
Hello, today we have Dr. Janine Irvin Smith, who is a Los Angeles native and a graduate of the Tuskegee University College of Veterinary Medicine. And I'm so happy to have Janine here to talk with us about veterinary medicine and her work and trajectory into that field. After graduate school, Dr. Irvin Smith continued her studies at the University of Alabama at Birmingham to receive a Master in Public Health in Environmental and Global Health Sciences in 2008. Her veterinary journey has spanned across the avenues of clinical experience to leadership as a chief of staff for VCA, Director of Veterinarian Quality for Banfield Hospitals, and in research and development for Virbac, U.S. And now, currently, Janine lives in Texas and just had a beautiful baby, and just happy to have her on the show. So, Janine, could you welcome to our show? Could you tell us a little bit about your work as a veterinarian?
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me, Dr. Houston. It's a pleasure to be on this morning. And certainly, as you said, I am dealing with this Texas heat. So I am in Texas currently now. And my four-legged babies, as well as my two-legged babies, are doing well, or the family's doing well. So thanks so much for just having me on this morning. But yes, as you mentioned, I am a 2007 graduate of Tuskegee University College of Veterinary Medicine. I also attended Tuskegee undergrad, and so this is my alma mater, very close to my heart, especially being from Los Angeles and traveling so far to the South to attend Tuskegee was definitely a decision that I will never regret. I now have a second family around me that has supported me since day one. And so, I just appreciate everything that I have seen and been through and experienced from my journeys and travels through Tuskegee. As far as what I do now, as you mentioned, I have gone through avenues, different avenues in veterinary medicine. And so my current role is as a chief of staff with VCA. And so what I do specifically is I establish the medical quality and patient care practiced by the hospital doctor veterinary medicine team. I also serve as a mentor, a coach, and a role model for associate veterinarians and the veterinary staff. And I disseminate and oversee implementation of practice-wide initiatives that are cascaded from the chief medical officer and our regional partners.
So, how did you end up getting in veterinarian medicine? What inspired you to go to pursue education in veterinarian medicine?
Absolutely good question. Yeah, of course, everyone that just about is a veterinarian, it says something like, I had a lot of animals, or I had a love for animals and I wanted to take care of them. And for me, certainly it started out that way. I think I struck more of an interest in wanting to fix them. And so not just love on them and care for them, but I totally wanted to figure out the biology behind how do I help them live better lives. And so as a child, my inspiration started from just feeding the strays that would follow me home from school and basically taking all the food out of the refrigerator. My mother would say, what happened to the lunch meat? I would give it to the cats or dogs that follow me home. But she certainly noticed that I had an interest and a love for animals. And speaking with more of her friends, one of her friends had actually had a daughter that attended Tuskegee University and thrived there very well and spoke very highly of it. Although it was quite a ways away from Los Angeles, my family is from the South. My father's from Louisiana. And my mother is from Mississippi. So me going back to their roots, so to speak, in the South wasn't too far-fetched. But again, I got such rave reviews about her experience at Tuskegee. She mentioned the veterinary school there, thought I would love the entire experience. And so a referral from a friend of my mother's basically is how I ended up in the South.
Yes. I understand that Tuskegee graduates the most African-American and Latino veterinarians in the country. and that they're very successful in producing outstanding graduates. Can you talk a little bit about your experience going to the Tuskegee School of Veterinary Medicine?
Oh, absolutely. So you mentioned something very specific there in regards to graduating most of our Black and Brown counterparts. And so, the historical records, I'll talk a little bit about that. Historical records show that only 70 Black students graduated, and I'm 70, graduated from U.S. And Canadian veterinary schools between 1889 and 1948. However, Tuskegee University significantly increased that number with the addition of its veterinary school in 1945. And so their Veterinary School of Medicine has a long-time contractual agreement with Puerto Rico, Barbados, Haiti, and the Virgin Islands. And so because of this, Tuskegee's veterinary school has graduated approximately 75% of the nation's Black veterinarians, and about 92% of the veterinarians from other countries who have studied in the U.S. for their own professional degree. So absolutely, this experience for me being around so many different backgrounds and nationalities widened my experience coming from Los Angeles. I think people seem to think that, why would I go from California to Alabama? But the experience that I gathered from going to a school such as Tuskegee, so diversified and just so much rich history that allows for opportunities for not only those Black and Brown individuals within the state, but outside of our own country, has just increased my knowledge, my awareness, and allowed me to see the perspectives and point of view from others that are from very different backgrounds.
Yes, often we look at Tuskegee, since it is a historically Black college and university, we think that it only has Black graduates, but to your African-American graduates. But to your point, it appeals to the international community as well.
Absolutely.
So talk about what you would encourage other individuals who want to study veterinarian medicine or be in the field of veterinarian medicine. What advice would you give them?
Well, as far as being in the field of veterinary medicine, I would say for me, was one of the things my mentor has always told me. He's always said mentorship never stops. And so it's a phrase he continues to remind me of. And so I would always recommend to have, for someone to have a mentor that can guide you in the direction of your goals and support you on those goals, and at least two or three if you can. But for me, I've always strived to not only be a role model for others, but to at least have two or three individuals who I can mentor that can benefit from the knowledge and guidance that I was provided. So one of my biggest contributions back to ensuring, I tell my journey and those that are unaware of those that are Black and Brown within the veterinary profession specifically, I mentor. And so that's certainly one of my biggest contributions to others that are looking to get into this profession or even other professions of medicine, or just in a career that they feel like they can actually achieve in spite of their nationality.
Yes, mentorship is so important no matter what field you're in. And it's even critical, as you stated, to become a mentor once you get into a position where you can assist others in their professional and personal development. When you look at, you talked about you work with patient care. Do you have any observations in terms of how Black and Brown people specifically can care for their animals better? Or in other words, do you see that our communities are a little bit different in the way we care for our pets or not?
I think that's probably the assumption. But honestly, I don't see a difference. I think our four-legged companions are like our four-legged kids for the most part, for you know, whichever nationality. I don't tend to see a difference in the way we care for our four-legged babies as opposed to any other race. I think the problems right now that the organization is facing is that we're looking for ways to adjust to the new normal, considering the challenges COVID-19 has brought to our world and the profession of veterinary medicine. And so there are certainly short-term and long-term impacts which are affecting veterinary activities and the pet owner's behavior. Now, the short-term would likely be our safety and our management phase through the utilization of curbside pickup and drop-off. And that's in our efforts to continue to provide and deliver high-quality medicine to the pets that we care for, yet without the sense of being comfortable opening the doors to our clientele. The long-term effects would be the adaptation phase, where telemedicine is predominant in order to keep everyone safe, but would now or later be the new expectation for the consumer. So whether Black or Brown or any nationality, honestly, I think these are the challenges that we're truly facing and that I am seeing in regards to pet care. And the unfortunate part of this is that veterinarians are behind on our public relations and just thinking outside of the box. And so now veterinarians will need to reinvent their practices to encompass more social media platforms and podcasts such as this to combat competition and just remain, in a sense, a product that consumers not only like, but truly love. One of the things that I'll say that at VCA is that we're focusing on what's called keeping the pact. And the pacts are just in short term an acronym for ensuring our teams are patient and client-centered, engaged, and transparent in delivering this quality pet care.
I'm glad you dispelled that myth that somehow we're different in terms of Black and Brown people and the way we care for our animals. We're just as passionate about our animals, and we take just as good a care of our animals as any other groups of people. So I'm glad you dispelled that myth. In terms of the new realities that we're living in under COVID and the change of the way we market our services and wanting to use social media platforms, like you said, for veterinarians, as well as changing the way you all operate. That's very interesting in terms of how it's going to affect the public and how we relate to our veterinarians. Do you have any advice for people who have pets in this current change in environment?
Well, my advice as far as changing would just be to be open. This is, like I said, it's allowed for us to really rethink how we operate. We just face some new challenges in regards to this. And I think that unfortunately, we have actually experienced just a bit more frustration within the veterinary community for our clientele as well as for patients. So my ask would that for clients to not only be open to thinking about different ways we can continue to serve their pets, but be understanding. Our teams are doing an amazing job keeping up with the increased volume in phone calls or appointment requests. And unfortunately, sometimes we are experiencing a lot of short tempers as we run through our different policies and protocols. But again, this is new for everybody. And I just want to make sure that everyone supports the veterinary staff in their education as we are all working through this together.
Thank you very much for that advice. Well, I surely appreciate you participating in this interview today. It's always a pleasure to have you, and I would love to have you as a guest again when your schedule permits.
Absolutely. Anytime, you just let me know and I'm there.
Thank you. Appreciate you having you. You have a good one.
Thanks so much, Doc. You take care. Bye-bye now.
A special thank you to the incredible team of the Empowerment Zone. Terry Ungully, theme song. NADWorks, digital support. And, of course, our featured guest.